A stronger confidence in God will produce a more prayerful life. A more prayerful life will produce a more fruitful life.
Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
The Lord Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you again today about confidence in God. I'd just like to pray for you today, whoever you are, wherever you are. Lord, you know every listener. You know where they are, in a car, in a shop, in a living room, in a kitchen, in a laundry, in a schoolroom, somewhere with a portable radio, maybe sitting on a beach. Lord, you know every one of them. You know the measure of their confidence in you. You know those who are listening who haven't got a shred of confidence, but they wish they had. They talk about it. They hear other people talk about it, and they think, well, I wish I could place that kind of confidence in God. I'm not really sure he's up there. I'm not sure he's hearing my prayers. Father, I pray for them. I pray that you will make yourself real to them in such a way that they will place their full and absolute trust in you. I pray that you will lift up the hands that hang down and strengthen the feeble knees. I pray that you will comfort those who are sorrowing. I pray that you will strengthen those who are weak. I pray that you will bring to repentance those who are living in sin. I pray that you will give me words today which you can take and speak to the consciences and the hearts of these people when all I can do is speak to their ears. I pray this in Jesus' name. I think that one of the main reasons that we don't do very much is lack of confidence in God. We don't do much, I mean, in the way of praying. Well, we all know that prayer is important. We all know that prayer is commanded, but we don't really do a whole lot of it. We don't do very much talking to other people about what God has done for us. We don't do very much in the way of Christian service. Why? Well, simply because we lack confidence in God. When it comes to this matter of prayer, we imagine that we don't really deserve to be heard. Well, we're right about that. We don't deserve to be heard. There's no way in the world that we finite, sinful creatures could ever deserve the ear of God. But he's not looking for our deserts. He's looking for our faith. We might say, oh, well, God's got more important things on his mind. My prayers don't work anyway, and what's he done for me recently? Have you ever asked that question? What's he done for me recently? Well, if you stop and think, you're going to find out an awful lot of things. You did get out of bed this morning, didn't you? Or maybe some of you are still in bed listening to the program. But you probably will manage to put your feet on the floor. There probably will be clothes to put on and breakfast to eat and work to do. If you're listening late at night, think back over the day. How many things did God enable you to do that you could not have done without him? Try thanking him. Those are pretty big insults to the Lord who is our shepherd. If we imagine that we don't deserve his attention, that our prayers don't work, and he really hasn't done much for me recently. Insults to the Lord who is our shepherd, the Lord who died for us, and the Lord who waits to answer our prayers. A stronger confidence in God will produce a more prayerful life. A more prayerful life will produce a more fruitful life. And incidentally, it will produce a lot of joy. Confidence produces prayer. Prayer produces fruit, and fruit produces joy. Do you pray the Lord's Prayer or the Our Father? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Do you think about your own prayer requests in terms of his kingdom and his will, or solely in terms of what's going to happen to me and the people that matter to me? When we pray, thy kingdom come and thy will be done, we must remember that God's answer is always subservient to his supreme end, which is our salvation, the redemption of the world, the final fulfillment of his holy purposes for his loved children. That's what God is up to. Think about it. Saving us, redeeming us, fulfilling his purposes in his children. Now think about your love for your own children, if you have children. If you could run their lives and do everything perfectly, and if you were wise enough to know exactly what was best for them and had the power to accomplish it in their lives, what would you give them? Well, of course, you would give them the best, wouldn't you? Nothing less than the best, and everything would work out perfectly. God is in the business of repair and maintenance. We live in a fallen world. God has given us the power to choose to obey or to disobey. And ultimately, God wants to save us. He wants to redeem us. He wants to fulfill his holy purpose in us, which is that you and I should be conformed to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ, shaped into that image, fitted like a stone into his holy tabernacle. There are many metaphors in the scripture that refer to God's shaping of us, the potter shaping the clay, the sculptor shaping the statue, the builder shaping the stone. That's God's purpose, and he has exactly the right place in which he wants to fit us. How do we cooperate with him? Whether he will answer our prayers with a yes depends on the fulfillment of that purpose. For example, suppose I pray today that it's not going to rain because, as a matter of fact, the truth is I did hang some clothes out on the line this morning. The weatherman said that he didn't think it was going to rain, but the weatherman has been wrong about 4 days out of five recently. So I say, well, Lord, you know more than the weatherman. Please don't let it rain. You can make it not rain in my backyard. But there are a whole lot of other people, undoubtedly today, who are praying, Lord, we need rain. So I pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, even if my clothes get wet. How does it fit into the overall plan of God? How it fits and why it's necessary are not my concerns. They are his concerns. Am I content to leave them with him? One of the things that impressed me about my husband, Lars, when I first got to know him, was his spirit of a servant. He had a real servant heart. And if there was anything that he could do for me, he would do it completely. He would just say, never mind, I'll take care of it. And he still says that. I worry about things. Here I am talking to you about confidence in God, about not worrying. But I worry. And sometimes I express my worries to Lars, and his answer is, I'll take care of it. And he does. He will. But he's not perfect. He forgets sometimes. He doesn't take care of it as I expected him to. But God will never fail. Now, most things in this world are not my business at all. Only a few things are assigned to me. Now, stop and cogitate on that one for a minute. Only a few things are assigned to you. Be content to carry the burden that's assigned. Leave whatever isn't assigned to God. Leave it to God. Just leave it to God. We are the sheep of his pasture. Now, what business do sheep have? Following, trusting, obeying, lying down in the green pastures when the shepherd takes them to the green pastures, moving beside the still waters when the shepherd takes them to the still waters, and faithfully keeping up when they have to go through the valley of the shadow of death. Here's an old prayer that I found recently. Teach us to love what thou commandest and desire what thou dost promise. Teach us to love what thou commandest and desire what thou dost promise. And if we learn that, then we're going to find that we will be praying in harmony with his kingdom and with his will. Now, I have a little dime store notebook in which I write down special prayer requests, and I put the date. And it's the most wonderfully faith-strengthening thing to go back and see the ways in which God has answered prayers which I would otherwise have forgotten. I would recommend that to you. Put it down in your grocery list. When you're in the grocery store, pick up a little tiny spiral notebook, and today or next time you go to that grocery store, start keeping a record of just some of your prayer requests. It is just amazing. It is amazing. It is faith-strengthening. It builds my confidence in God. For example, last November, I prayed that the Lord would bless my time with my granddaughter, Elizabeth. She was coming to visit from California. And underneath I wrote, answered, such a good time. December 10th, I asked the Lord where we were to spend Christmas. I knew that we would be flying to Nairobi. I didn't know whether we would be in Brussels or in Nairobi, all by ourselves in a hotel or at somebody's house. Well, the Lord gave us the most wonderful Christmas Eve with friends in Brussels and a Christmas dinner with people we'd never met in Nairobi. And so it goes, one request after another, answered exceedingly abundantly above everything that I ask or think. Is your confidence in God?
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.